So looking at kind of the past and the present, it feels like God has guided me in my life many times, lighting a path for me to follow. Church and a renewal of faith played a big role in coming to know who I am, coming out as a gay man, building self-esteem, learning to live more authentically. And I'm still growing in all those areas, still trying to follow God's light. And I also see God's guidance leading me to ministry after walking away from a job and not really knowing what I was going to be doing next. And I believe it was the light of God that led me to ministry, revealing that light in others and in myself and making me want to share it, wanting to nurture it so it grows brighter. And I see God's light in all the things that bring a little bit of passion and joy to life, friends, community, and for me, things like writing and poetry. All of these things make life a little bit brighter. So why wouldn't I want to share the source of these blessings with the world? Why wouldn't I want others to know this light in their lives? Lifting my voice in a world that so desperately needs the light of God's love. And I think we can probably agree that our world does need a lot more light. It feels like we live in a time of darkness, a time of violence in so many forms, war and mass shootings, the pursuit of power by so many political leaders who should be spending more of their time concerned about the welfare of the people. Racism, homophobia, sexism, and on and on. We don't really need to continue to list all of the challenges that we face, but we need more light in the world. A light that exposes the evil that so many refuse to see. A light that reveals the healing love of God that is available within us. A light that shows us the wonderful potential of what humanity can be, living together in diverse, supportive community. A light that guides us on God's path to peace and justice. We need the light of Christ. And yet I'll admit there are certainly times when I haven't wanted to talk about my faith and what it means to me. When I'm around people who I think might be hostile to Christianity, who've been harmed by the church in some way, I'm hesitant to reveal that I'm a Christian minister. It can feel a little scary, like the conversation's going to be a lot more trouble than it's worth. A lot of people don't seem to want to hear about God. They're suspicious, often with very good reason. There are those who corrupt and manipulate God's good news to seek wealth and power. And people were suspicious of John the Baptist as well, asking him, "Who are you?" Which I think really means, "Why should we listen to you?" Now, last week we talked about John as someone who was preparing the way for Jesus. He helped people open their hearts to God's transformational love through confession and baptism. And I reflected mainly on that internal journey of preparing the way within ourselves to make room for the holy. And this week we hear again about John, but it seems to me to be more about the external world and turning to others. Once God changes our hearts, we're called to in turn change the world, even if it is a little scary and uncomfortable. Even if we don't know how we're going to be received. Some people don't want light to shine in their lives. They've grown accustomed to darkness. Maybe they're frightened or ashamed of what might be found. Maybe they don't want others to know what they're up to. But John isn't deterred by those who question him. He knows who he is, and he knows who he isn't. His identity is grounded in his faith and his trust in God. He knows he's not the Messiah. And he knows he's not a great prophet reborn. He's not Elijah. He is not the light, but he points to the light. He is simply a voice in the wilderness, a witness to the love of Christ. And there's a certain humility and confidence in John. He knows what his role is, but he knows what his limitations are too. And I think that's important, that his testimony comes from a place of authenticity. And maybe that's where it starts, knowing who we are, learning about ourselves, letting the light of Christ shine within first, so that we too can be confident yet humble. Now, Isaiah too seems to have a grasp on his identity, who he was called to be in the world. He understood that God had anointed him, had chosen him to bring the good news, healing, liberation, and justice to the people, to shine light in their lives, to comfort the mourning, bringing them gladness instead of tears, gratitude instead of despair. And I believe God has chosen us too to be voices in the wilderness, witnesses to the light of Christ's love. But we don't need to be John the Baptist or Isaiah. We don't need to compare ourselves to them or to anyone else. We don't need to be anyone but who we are, who God has made us to be. We need only to seek the light and share it. And so we might ask, where has Christ's light shined in our lives? Where has our relationship with Christ lifted us, led us, healed us, freed us, comforted us, brought us hope and joy? This is what we need to share with the world. And we can share with our own words, and we can also share with our deeds, our actions. We can talk about our faith, but we're also called, perhaps even more importantly, to live out our faith. Isaiah was sent not only to speak, but to act. His ministry of healing and liberation was more than just a ministry about emotions, although that was certainly part of it, bringing to people hope and joy. But the transformation that Isaiah sought was grounded in a physical reality. Isaiah, like Jesus, wanted to create a world that acted in a new way, a world of justice, a world where people were not oppressed but would have what they needed to live fulfilling lives. When Isaiah talks about freeing the prisoner, it wasn't a metaphor about our internal self. He was likely talking of those in exile, those in debt slavery, political prisoners. Neither Isaiah or Jesus shied away from addressing the real material concerns of the poor and the oppressed. They wanted to heal sorrow by changing the poverty and the injustice that created it. And Isaiah says that when we share the light of Christ, when we take up that role as the voice in the wilderness, when we turn to others and help them in love, we're planting seeds that will grow into strong trees of integrity, testimonies to God's glory. In other words, when people are helped, they in turn tend to help others. And we help people love by first loving them. When we experience the light of Christ, we want to help it shine everywhere in the world by witnessing to the effects of God's love in our lives and by living that love out in our actions and in our relationships with others. And this is a light that is constantly renewed. God is a source that will not run out. And we celebrate that every year when we anticipate the rebirth of Christ into the world during Advent. The light is born into the world in us and through us every moment of every day, bringing us hope and joy. And it's not a shallow happiness, but a deep abiding peace and trust in the love of God. That is what joy is, a light in the darkness. And so we might consider, where is the light of Christ shining in our lives today. And when we share that light, we nurture the seeds of justice and joy and begin to heal the world. Maybe someone right here needs a little bit more light in their life. Can we point them toward the light of Christ, God's love born into the world? Can we love them? Can we too be a voice in the wilderness? Amen.